This is Bragging Rights, a show all about college football, where the conversations are lively, the topics are trivial, and the hosts are semi-knowledgeable. And now, here are your hosts, Madison and Pierce.
Welcome in to another edition of Bragging Rights, week 13, sort of, the first half of week 13 edition. If you didn't listen to our week 12 recap, here's what we are doing this week on the podcast. We will all be making the trek to Nashville here in a couple of days. And we wanted to take advantage of the fact that we're all going to be in the same room for the first time all season and do a podcast in person. Should be pretty electric, I can already tell, because we won't have weird internet delays, no technology issues. But there's some pretty big games that we need to cover on Thursday and Friday, and we didn't want to leave you hanging as you make your respective treks to wherever you're going for the holidays, or maybe you're staying put and you want to be listening to something as you are going on quote-unquote, note for the audio, quote-unquote walks before you, meet up with your family and stuff like that. Those who know. So that's what we're doing here. We are breaking down four games. The Egg Bowl on Thursday, TCU, Oklahoma on Friday, Texas Tech, and Oregon State. Those are also on Friday. But before we get into that preview, I need to introduce my co-host. My name is Madison. I'm joined, as always, by brother Pierce. Pierce, how are you?
Doing well. This is obviously one of the more exciting weeks of the year. It's Rivalry Week, and great day, great time to start it off with Ole Miss, Mississippi State. So jumping into the Egg Bowl, obviously, here soon. I don't know why we're picking TCU. That's just going to be a horrible game. But
what are you talking about?
Hey, all right, listen, that's just because I'm a little disappointed with how the season's gone. And then obviously some really good games on Friday. So, this Thursday with the Egg Bowl, and then it's maybe not the greatest slate. There are some great games this year, but that Friday is always a fun one. Coming off of Thanksgiving, you've had a bunch of food. You're probably just, sitting on the couch, not doing much on Friday. Maybe you're getting out and working out before the games, but got a pretty good slate here. So Friday ought to be a heck of a day. Doing this, just having the four pack for y'all, it's getting my juices flowing. I'm looking forward to the next, 5 or 6 days and a lot of football, because gotta soak it in while you can, because it's about to be over. So enjoy it while you can.
All right. Well, that is true. It's the best weekend of the year as far as football goes. I'm a better gambler when it comes to pro than college, quite frankly. So that's going to be very fun to be in a legal gambling state and get to actually put my money where my mouth is. Where we need to introduce our other co-host, though, our other brother, Hank. Hank, I have an over-under for you. How many times, now that when Thursday, turkey is done, turkey's over, pumpkin pie has been consumed, it's now Christmas season. Over-under on how many times Pierce makes us watch The Holiday as a family?
Ooh. I'm going to say 1.5, because he's definitely going to do it once.
Yep. I'm taking the over in that one. I think we're watching it two to three times.
Two to three. Damn.
I haven't watched it yet, so we are primed and ready.
Okay,
to go.
Well, with that information, the line has now gone up to 2.5, maybe even 3.
We are going to watch that movie a lot, I can already tell you, which I'll be fighting him because a little peel behind
the onion. I'll be asleep both times.
Little peel behind the onion. Pierce, for some reason, like 5-6 years ago, saw The Holiday with who is it? Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet, Jack Black, and Jude Law for the first time. Fell in love with it. We watch it several times as a family every Christmas season. My favorite of the chick flick Christmas movies is Love Actually. So we'll be battling for which one we get to watch the most this weekend. But I fully anticipate when the games start getting boring or the last football has been thrown, Pierce is going to be rolling over there to the on-demand to put on The Holiday. So we'll see. All right. Everybody's good. I think we're ready to just go ahead and jump in here for a little more bite-sized situation. Thursday night. This is my favorite game. I don't know about y'all. This is my favorite game of the weekend. It's the first one to really kick it all off college-wise. Obviously, you've had pro all day long on Thursday, and those can be hit or miss on how they go. But this is not only the first one to kick it off for Rivalry Week, as Pierce so eloquently put it, but these teams hate each other, and they just embody what it means to be rivals, one, but two, they do stupid stuff. They pee, they mimic dogs peeing on fields. I'm sure Lane Kiffin will say something that gets press. You know, Mississippi State obviously doesn't have a head coach right now, so that definitely takes some luster. But it is in Starkville, so it's going to be loud. You're going to hear the clanga. They're going to be picking up 10.5 points at home in this one against the number 13 team in the nation. If Mississippi State wins this one, which is a big if they win this one, they will be bowl eligible. So they are chasing that. Ole Miss, on the other hand, nothing really to play for here except for bragging rights and a better bowl game. But they would also then manage to finish the season 10-2 if they pull off that win there in Starkville. This game, by the way, is at 7:30 Eastern time on ESPN. Hank, take it away with your thoughts on the Egg Bowl. 10.5 points is the line. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this is just the line, first of all, is weird to me. I opened at 12. It's down to, I got it 11 on my book. It's down to 10.5 where we're picking it. So that has me a little worried to pick this game, because my first thought would have been to put this line at least 14, 13.5 at the very least. And I would have thought, you know, the public's going to start hammering Ole Miss. And it looks like the public is kind of on Ole Miss. Maybe it's too early in the week to really take any of this into account. But the fact that it's gone down is kind of freaking me out a little bit. I mean, Ole Miss has had a great year outside of two losses to Bama and Georgia. I mean, they've covered, you know, I think, let's see, they've covered 5-4, 5-4-1 on their against the spread. So it's not like they've had a bad year against the spread. They kind of had some good looking games, some moments where they didn't look great. The Arkansas game was maybe one of those, but for the most part, they've looked very solid in my opinion. And then on the opposite end, you got Mississippi State, who has just been pretty awful since their win against Arizona or early September. But I mean, I'm going Ole Miss here, especially at the 10.5. But maybe one of those things where it's kind of watch the line and see what Vegas kind of does to what the public's doing and whatnot, because it seems something's a little fishy there. But I'm going to go ahead and take Ole Miss. I just don't trust Mississippi State on really either side of the ball to do a whole lot. I think they're averaging 23.5 points or something like that, and Ole Miss is averaging 30, mid-30s. So I see it being kind of something similar to that score, something like a mid-30s to low 20s, maybe even a teens in the Mississippi State. But again, it's a rivalry game, so weird things happen. But either way, I don't see them covering this number. I'm going to take Ole Miss minus 10.5.
Okay. Yeah, to Hank's point, Mississippi State hasn't been great. Ole Miss has only lost two, but they are both on the road, for what it is worth. Hank's rolling with the Rebels. Hank Pierce, who you got?
Yeah, and something to add to that, when you break down Ole Miss's schedule, road games at Tulane, they would have covered a spread of 10.5. At Alabama, they lost. At Auburn, they only won by 7, so they would have failed that. At Georgia, they got blown out. So, you know, I kind of look at this game, and it's because it's a rivalry game, it's, you know, wacky things could happen. And I'm going to go against wacky things happening just because I'm going to trust what has worked for me the last 3 weeks. I'm taking Ole Miss minus 10.5. Probably that's probably a losing bet. I would not be surprised if on Thursday I end up taking Mississippi State, depending on how this line moves. But Hank said it, Mississippi State, both sides of the football, just not very good. The one thing that's working for them is Ole Miss doesn't have a very good defense. So Mississippi State should be able to have a little bit more success potentially. But to give y'all some, justification for how bad they've been, offensively running the football, Mississippi State averages 151.5 yards. That's, you know, very average. And then passing, they only average 179 yards passing. That is very bottom tier in Division I. And then on the flip side, Mississippi State's defense is equally as bad. They give up 140 yards rushing. That's pretty average. And they give up 214.5 yards through the air. The one thing that Ole Miss does really well is they throw the ball well through the air. 293 yards, that's top 20 in the country. And, oh, hey, by the way, they do average 176 rushing yards. So they ought to be able to find success as well, both running and passing. You know, again, something crazy happens. This is the type of game that it will happen in. But just going off of who I think is better, what the matchups are, I think Mississippi State had their big performance last week with, you know, a coach who, you know, an interim coach after firing Zach Arnett. I think they come back down to earth here. I think Ole Miss gets this cover. I think Lane Kiffin knows what to do here. And at 10.5, especially if this thing gets down to 10, it'll give me something more to think about. So Ole Miss minus 10.5 in the Egg Bowl.
Scared money don't make no money, boys. I am going to roll with Mississippi State in this one to cover. Obviously, I don't think they win this game. I think Ole Miss handles it. But I just feel like this is one, especially this year, with it kind of feeling super mismatched, that something wacky is going to happen. You know, I'll foreshadow some stuff with the Alabama-Auburn game. You know, it just feels wacky. It's there in Davis-Wade. If it was in Oxford, I'd hammer Ole Miss. But I just, to Pierce, your point, you outlined it. They've lost twice on the road. They struggled at Auburn. And Tulane, they handled business, but it's Tulane, and they've had a decent season, but I don't know how much that is smoke and mirrors from last season, the way they finished. So I like Mississippi State in this one to cover the 10.5. It is not probably the smartest play by me, but you know what? I'm going with my heart, and I think that the Bulldogs are going to I'm going to say this right now. I think they really rallied around Zach Arnett being gone. They were like, had a four-wheeler in the locker room before the game last week and just looked like they were just trying to rally and trying to have fun. And I think that they just kind of, like Ole Miss said when they went into the Georgia game, and Lane Kiffin said, I'm telling my guys, we got nothing to lose. If you're Mississippi State, you got nothing to lose. You are just going out there, have fun, and get a chance to potentially beat up on your, you know, right now, your big brother. So I'm going to roll with the Bulldogs in this one. Don't feel great about it, but you know what? I need to do better on my picks because what I've been doing hasn't been working. So I'm going to roll with the Bulldogs. All right, let's flip over here, Pierce, to talk about your alma mater. You did say, I don't know why we're picking this game. Well, you guys could be bowl eligible with this one if you beat Oklahoma there in Norman. But Oklahoma has to win this one if they want a potential opportunity to make it to the Big 12 championship. I don't know exactly how all the shakedown goes. I know they need Oklahoma State to lose, but there's another one too that they have. But they have to win. Bottom line, they have to win. This game is at noon Friday, noon Eastern time on Fox. Obviously, TCU sitting at 5-6, like I said, could be bowl eligible. Oklahoma dropped to, after the high point of the season where they beat Texas, they dropped to. So not in the playoff hunt, but still trying to look to potentially be in that Big 12 championship in their last year in the Big 12 and ruin Texas's potential chance at the playoffs. I'm seeing that Dylan Gabriel is questionable, for what it's worth, with an upper body. You know, he didn't play last week too, did he? Did he play last week?
He played most of the game. I think Dylan Gabriel? I think he got hurt in like the fourth. He came out and Jackson Arnold came in for, I think, a drive or two.
Why in my head? Has drives, he, maybe. He's, oh, wow. In my head, he's been hurt for weeks. I don't know. Okay.
I did not
well,
know.
He's
that.
Questionable, so we yeah. shall see. If
well,
he
may, it may have been actually before that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure he was. Yeah. Anyways, who knows?
I think, well, he played in this game a little bit. Yeah, he played like the first half or the first quarter, at least. I know okay. that because he has some. I'm just looking at this box scores from last week. He had 21 pass attempts, and then Jackson Arnold came in and played the second half, it looks like. So,
all right. Well, there you go. Hank, keep you up to date with, could I look that up before the podcast? Absolutely, but I did not. I chose not to. So anyways, he is questionable. Oklahoma at home favored by 10.5. Hank, do you think Pierce's Horned Frogs have magic in them? Or do you think that the Max Duggan era is over and they're just going to get rolled by the Sooners?
You know, I'm going to let Pierce give the stats and stuff on this one. I don't know, I have a ton of background knowledge on, you know, all the statistics behind this one, but this one just kind of feels like a TCU keeping it close kind of game. I'm not necessarily saying that they're going to win outright. I mean, with especially if Dylan Gabriel's out, I don't know much about Jackson Arnold. That rings a bell. Did he play somewhere else?
No, he's a true freshman, but he's a top. No. I mean, he was a five-star kid, like supremely talented. Okay.
I mean, it looked like, just looking through the box score and stuff, that he had had. I mean, he kind of came out and helped actually win that game against BYU. I said in the last podcast, I wasn't watching all the games. I was at Tennessee watching the Georgia game, but this is kind of a gut thing. I just feel like TCU keeps this one close. I mean, they've had, and it's kind of hard to say this because they've lost four of their last five games, but I mean, going back even a week before that, BYU, they blew them out. Kansas State was the bad one there, and Texas Tech wasn't great. But the one time they've been dogs by double digits was against Texas, and they kept that one to a 3-point game. Granted, I don't know if Quinn Hughes played in that one or what, but either way, then last week handled business against Baylor. I just feel like they have enough to have the ability to keep this one close, especially. You know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know much about Jackson Arnold, but you know, it's tough to come into a new offense as a true freshman and go out there and in a rivalry game play as good as you may want to. And I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a gut thing. Like I said, I think TCU keeps this close. Maybe tough to squeak out a win. I don't know if I necessarily would say they're going to win this game, but I have a weird feeling that this one could be within that number. So give me TCU minus the. Was it 10.5 that we're picking it at? Yeah.
Yep.
Give me TCU to keep it close here.
Hank likes the Frogs. Pierce, what about you?
Yeah, there is definitely a pathway here for TCU. And honestly, there's a potential path here for them to pull off the upset, if I'm being quite honest. There are a few things, though, that come to mind. First of all, TCU is going to keep this close or potentially pull off an upset. They've got to have success passing the football. Hoover has to have a really good game again and compile back-to-back games, which, you know, he hasn't had, you know, he's had maybe one down week, but he's been average, you know, at worst. So with a couple exceptional games in there, he's going to have an exceptional game here. Oklahoma defensively is just – you know, not all that good. You know, people, once again, I feel like this is a trend. Every year, week 4 or 5, everyone looks at Oklahoma and goes, man, look at what they're doing defensively. Maybe they've gotten it righted there. And then they just fall off a cliff halfway through the season, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Obviously, the Dylan Gabriel injury will be something to monitor. That would drastically change. Listen, I like Jackson Arnold. He's going to be phenomenal, in my opinion. Will be better than Dylan Gabriel probably next year or the year after. However, he is still a freshman, and this would be making a big start for them with a potential to get into the Big 12 championship game if Oklahoma State loses. So a little pressure on him. He's no longer just a true freshman, though. You know, at this point in time, most of these freshmen, they're no longer true freshmen. They've had a full season under their belts. They've been in school for over, you know, two, 3 months now. Here's where I think this game hinges. TCU has been very bad on the road this year, okay? One win on the road, that came at Houston in week 3. Another thing to keep in mind, after Hoover's had an exceptional performance, his first start against BYU, he threw for like 450-plus yards. That very next week, Kansas State beat them 41-3 on the road. So there's kind of a history here of TCU struggling, especially after one of these big offensive outbursts. Which they just had against a pretty bad Baylor team, but still, nonetheless, a rivalry game. It's on the road. They've struggled on the road. They've lost at Texas Tech. They lost at Kansas State. They lost at Iowa State. So, you know, is this a spot where they're going to get over the hump? One last thing I got to point out, and this played a factor in one of the games we picked this past week. I think the key here is going to be, can TCU convert third down attempts, and vice versa? Can OU get off the field on third downs? TCU is converting 46.6% of their third down tries this year. OU is very good at getting off the field, only allowing 28.9% conversion on third down. That's good for top 40 in the country. So on the road, that probably makes that 46.6 number drop some. And the fact that Oklahoma is really good at getting off the field, I assume that number goes down for them too, to 25-24% at home. I'm going to roll with Oklahoma here. I think this is a 14-point game. Hell, this wouldn't be surprised. Nothing would surprise me in this game, but I just see too many angles pointing towards Oklahoma here. But certainly, Dylan Gabriel's something you need to monitor, because that could change things drastically.
Y'all must have missed when I said they have to win this game to make it to the Big 12 championship. They know that they're going to come out to play. It's at home. Pierce, to your point, TCU has one road win the entire season. So if this game was in Fort Worth, maybe. But I think Oklahoma rolls in this one. No offense to your Horned Frogs. Go back to the drawing board. Sonny Dykes will figure it out. But Oklahoma, 20 points potentially. No, not really. I think that TCU can move the ball a little bit. But I don't think that they cover this 10.5. I'm going to go with Oklahoma in this one. All right. At 7:30 Eastern time on ABC on Friday night, it's the Texas Tech Red Raiders and the Texas Longhorns there in Austin, Texas. Texas has to win here to make it to the Big 12 championship. I think there's some way they could potentially not make the Big 12 championship if they lose and some other people win. I don't know. There's a lot going on. But when you're in, they have not yet clinched here. Texas Tech would love to play spoiler. And this line is pretty big. 12.5 points right now is what Texas is favored by there at home. Let's see. What else? What other facts and figures you need to know? That's probably it. We'll start with Hank. Who do you got in that Friday night game?
I'm going to go Texas. I think they, like I said, they know they need to. I think they would like you said, there's an avenue where they could have someone else win or whatever. There's some weird things going on. But I think they'd rather win this game and just kind of try to control their own destiny that way. I think Quinn Ewers is back, right? He's playing this game. I think
he's been back. He actually played against TCU. He wasn't 100%,
So he should be fully back. I mean, Texas Tech has hit a little stride here, winning TCU, Kansas, a close one against UCF, but they squeaked it out. But I just think, Texas is like you said, Madison, I guess this is kind of contradicting my last pick, since Oklahoma needs that win too. But I was going to say for this one that I just feel like Texas, they're going to know that they need to get this done to control their destiny. I think they can squeak out a 2-touchdown victory here, against the Red Raiders. So not much analysis beyond that. This is another one. I just feel like Texas gets this done. So give me the Texas Longhorns minus 12.5.
Hank likes the Longhorns, big favorites here. Pierce, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. Give me Texas minus 12.5. I hate it because I feel like I'm picking all favorites, but all the statistics that all the research I've done backs that up. The path for Texas Tech here is they've got to pass the ball exceptionally well. They're not bad at passing the ball offensively, but they're not great either. But that is the one area where you can attack these Longhorns, because this Longhorn defense is top 10 in the country, one of the best in the nation against the run, only allowing 82.7 yards rushing per game. But when you look at their passing defense, they are bottom. They are down near the bottom of the list, giving up 253.9 yards through the air per game. So if Texas Tech is gonna have some success here and keep this within a number, that is their pathway to doing so. They've got to far exceed that 233.2 average that they have, and they need to throw it all over the yard if they're going to want to keep this close. Because one thing I do know is Texas Tech's defense is very bad, and while I do worry a little bit that Texas Tech tends to rely too much on the big play, and that can be dangerous. They struggle to, once they get in the red zone, score points. It seems like most of their touchdowns are 20-plus yards out, whether it's a big play by A.D. Mitchell or a big play by Xavier Worthy or a long run or you name it. Obviously, if they're not hitting some of their big plays, that's another pathway for success for Texas Tech. But this game is at home, I believe, right?
In Correct.
Texas at home. This ought to be a little bit of a get-right game. They had a hard-fought victory against Iowa State, but, I don't know if they played their best there. And Quinn Ewers, I've heard, is fully, the last couple of weeks may not have been 100%. This week, I've heard they feel very confident he's 100%. And against a bad Texas Tech D, I think they'll find more success than they did last week on the road in a tough environment. So if Texas takes this seriously now, I think Texas wins this pretty easily, minus 12.5. If they don't take it seriously, certainly Tech's in good form right now, but Texas is definitely the play here, minus 12.5.
Last week on my Easy Peasies, I told you Iowa State at home would cover 7.5 versus Texas. That didn't hit. I can't, in good conscience, pick against Texas here. I got to give the Longhorns credit where credit is due, and I think that they cover this point spread at home, to your point, Pierce. They still have a potential shot at the playoffs. So I think that they, under the lights in Austin one last time, get it done. They get it done big versus a Red Raiders team that whenever they shock the world, typically tends to be at home. I don't see them going on the road and shocking this Texas team. Could it happen? That'd be fun. I would love that, but I don't think so. I think a lot of people, you might watch the first half of this, and when it's out of control, you flip over to our next game. Our last game we'll be previewing this episode. It's at 8:30 Eastern time on Fox, the last edition of Oregon State, Oregon, before Oregon heads off to the Big Ten. We'll see. Did you see that they are going to, for the next few years, they're going to still have the Apple Cup? So we'll see if these two teams can come to that kind of conclusion as well. Because, you know, hey, this is a great, always a fun game, should be a chippy game. And you know what? Oregon State's not always up to par with Oregon, and this year they are. Obviously, last week, a lot of people were picking them to potentially upset the Huskies. They did not get that done, but as they travel to Autzen to take on their big brother in the state, they would love nothing more than to upend Oregon's season. Oregon, of course, needs to win this one if they want to not only go to the Pac-12 championship, but if they want a potential shot at the playoffs. Oregon in this one is favored by 13.5 there at home. They've been averaging a lot of points, but DJ Uiagalelei and company are not too shabby as well. Hank, we will start with you. 13.5 points, Oregon at home. Who do you have, the Ducks or the Beavs?
This one's extremely tough for me, especially at this number. This, like I said before we hopped on, is the most confusing set of lines. I would have thought this game would have been the closest out of all of these, and it's actually the biggest spread that we're picking at. So right out of the gate, I'm a little nervous. I would have thought this would have been like a 10-point spread at the most, and kind of I would have liked Oregon a little better there. Oregon, spot-wise, this is easily an Oregon favorable spot at home. Oregon State, you know, traveling into Eugene. Obviously, it's not far, but it's still in the opposing stadium, and coming off that hard-fought loss to Washington, you know, you wonder how their spirits are going into this final week of the year. I want to pick Oregon so bad. I just feel like they get this done pretty easily, but Oregon State's got a good defense, and I think that they can keep it close. You know, I'm going Oregon, but I hate it. I think it's a little too much points. I'm not going to actually put my money on this until I see where the line goes. But I just think Oregon's just too good to, and then not only are they a good offense, but they're a good defense too. So they're a little better, kind of on both sides of the ball than Washington was last week. I was a little surprised to see it only in the low 20s there, but for that game. But I'm going Oregon minus 13.5. Seems like a lot of points, but I just think that they're in a better spot to kind of handle this game. So give me Oregon.
Hank likes the Ducks in a big one. All right, Pierce, who do you got?
Yeah, let me back you up there, Hank, and make you feel a little bit better. Initially, when I did see this line, I was a little bit – I thought this would be closer to 10, to be quite frank with you. Obviously Oregon's at home. I would have thought this was about a 7-point spread in a neutral field. Obviously, they see differently. But here are – once you dove into the numbers, once I did my research, you – Really, Oregon stood out, and I think this is going to be a pretty good play that I have on Friday night. Going to be a fun one, 7:30. You know, I feel like most of those late games on Friday, you get that crummy Iowa, is Iowa, Nebraska, then you get maybe one other decent game, and then that's about it. We've got some good games on Friday, so I'm really excited. This one is icing on the cake of what should be a sneaky Friday. Couple things to note here. How does Oregon State stop the pass? That really is the question that I have in this game for Oregon State. They're pretty good against the run, but they do give up 224 passing yards per game. That's bottom tier. And what does Oregon do well? Not only do they run well, almost averaging 200 yards, top 35 in the country rushing, but they're the number two team in the country at 350 yards averaged through the air per game. I mean, That's ridiculous. So Oregon ought to have success on success on success offensively in this one. And this is the kicker. This absolutely sent me over the top here. What does Oregon State do? They're okay on offense passing the football. They really make their hay running the football. They do average 192.5 yards. That's top 45 in the country. But on the flip side, Oregon absolutely shuts down the run. They only allowed 96.2 yards running the football. That's top 20 in the country. They're much more susceptible against the pass. DJU, I'm not sure if this is a great spot on the road for him to take advantage of that. If Oregon State's going to try to run, Oregon's just going to be happy to let them just try to run it down their throat because Oregon's going to be able to defend that. And on the flip side, Oregon's going to put up points, and Oregon State, they might even have to abandon the run because they get down so much here. My only hesitation in this one is Oregon looking ahead already to Washington? That's my one small fear. However, you can also flip it around and say, well, where's Oregon State's mindset after a very hard-fought game against Washington? Probably a more winnable game, in my opinion, than this one. So if you were going to pull off one of the upsets, it kind of feels like the Florida-Missouri game. Florida felt like they had a better chance of beating Missouri than they did against FSU. They put all their chips in their basket to try to beat Missouri. Obviously, you saw what happened there, just a catastrophe, just a horrible ending for Florida. I think Oregon State looked at this and said, Washington's our best chance. So I've got Oregon in this one, especially under two touchdowns. I think this is a play all day for me. Certainly rivalry games, kind of like the Ole Miss-Mississippi State one. Could it end up being a close one simply because it's a rivalry game? Sure. But unlike the Ole Miss-Mississippi State game, this one, Oregon, the favorite, is at home as opposed to on the road. Give me Oregon. Give me Oregon. Give me the Ducks all day.
No shot. Listen, I love Oregon. I wanted to go to school there. I watch Oregon very closely. I live with an Oregon fan, which is weird because he's from the East Coast. But Oregon State has all of their three of their losses have been by 2 to 3 points. They are going to be fired up. They narrowly lost last week versus Washington. I just think Washington's legit. Do I think Oregon loses this game? No, they win the game. I don't think they cover. I think at home, it's going to be loud. It's going to be rocking. But I think DJ Uiagalelei and the Beavs are also legit. I think that they've just had some tough, closer call games. I think they might have potentially been more gearing up for the Oregon game than they were for the Washington game. Because, like I said, what people don't realize about the state of Oregon is you've got Portland, and everybody thinks about Oregon as being Portland. The rest of the state's real rural and pretty hick. And think about the SEC-type hate that you get in those rivalries. You have that out there. That's the closest you get to an SEC-type rivalry is out there with Oregon State. I think the Beavs are going to be excited. I do think they fall, but I think they keep this close. I think they lose by like 7. 13.5 is a lot of points, boys. You guys are awfully confident in Bo Nix here. So we'll see. I think the Beavs cover this point spread. The Oregon Ducks ultimately win it and get ready to take on the Washington Huskies.
So I got to add one last thing.
Yep.
And maybe my stubbornness is playing a little bit of a role here. But I think outside of Georgia, Oregon's probably playing the best football in the country.
I agree.
Can you all agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. This game is fascinating because not only is Oregon looking to win this game, rivalry game, potentially last rivalry game for a long time, for the foreseeable future, and then a date with Washington next week on deck. I'm going to be fascinated to watch this game because if that happens, Madison, if Oregon State keeps this close on the road, I'm probably going to have a hard time saying Oregon's a legit national championship contender.
Okay.
I just am.
Sure.
If they go out and cover this easily, then what I've seen from their dominance the last, really since the Washington game, it'll confirm what I've seen and what my eyes have seen. I think if they don't cover this spread, now it also depends. Like if they're up 21 and say they bench the players, their starters, and Oregon State has 2 late touchdowns in some crazy fashion, minus that, if Oregon doesn't go out there and cover by 2 touchdowns against Oregon State, I think you look at Oregon and go, at least I do, and say, well, maybe they're not a national championship team.
Well, Georgia's failed to cover against a lot worse opponents, so a little bit of a flaw in your logic there. But
that's the start of the year, just like Oregon lost to Washington.
Sure. But Everybody is owed a little bit. Hey, listen, at the end of the day, you're just paid to win. You're not paid to cover. So I get what you're saying, but it's not going to keep them out of the playoffs if they you know,
oh, no,
come
no.
back.
I didn't say out of the playoffs. I'm okay. just saying.
I thought that's what you were trying
take
to argue.
Them as, No. I'm saying I don't take them as much of a serious national championship.
Okay.
Like, they could still win a game like TCU, but you obviously knew TCU wasn't going to win the national championship. So I don't know if I view them as a team that can go in there and – Listen, that's what happens when you've had 20 high noons before the game, and, two bottles of wine, and you're so nervous that you're about to you know, defecate all of yourself. It's it's
okay.
It was a scared confidence. So it was not from a place of actual confidence. It was scared nervousness. But yeah, I mean, listen, that's just me being nitpicky on Oregon. Certainly, I think they're a top 4 or 5 team in the country, but. Again, they need to show me that they can go out there and continue against a good team, a really good team here, and comfortably win. This time of year, you need to start to build towards these, you know, towards the playoffs. And as Georgia's done the last couple of years, you've seen Bama do it. You've seen all the teams that have won typically do that. So that's really where I'm coming from. National championship, not playoff.
Well, when they fail to cover, I don't want to hear you say on the recap podcast, you know, this was Oregon State's Super Bowl. So we'll see there. All right, let's
put your money where your mouth is. Let's make a bet.
Okay, what bet you want to make?
You want to go $100?
Oh, I want to go $100.
Okay,
so much
50,
money.
20. What would you feel comfortable with? 20.
The 20's
crush 20.
We'll do.
Oh, 20's not enough. Okay. 20's
not enough.
Let's do $50. $50 hairs. $50 and instead of hold on. I actually have the bet. $50 and instead of the holiday, we watch Love Actually.
Ooh. That's a steep.
That is not steep.
All right, done. Okay. I feel confident. Okay. Done.
Boom.
$50 and Love Actually over holiday.
All right. $50 and Love Actually.
Love it. Quite the bet. I don't know if a bet like that's ever been made in the history of time.
Grant dancing.
I'll
all right,
be
let's
eating,
wrap it up here, boys, because it's getting.
I'll be eating pumpkin pie and mediating this whole bet.
You're seventh.
Well,
yeah.
Let's be honest.
This is a late game. You'll be on your seventh or eighth easily by that point.
Easy. Trash.
Easy.
Trash. Trash pie. All right, that's going to do it here for this week 13 mini preview for your Thursday and Friday night games. We hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving. You'll hear from us again previewing the Saturday games on Thanksgiving Friday-ish, depending on when you listen to that podcast. But that's when we plan to record it. So make sure you're subscribed here so you don't miss when that comes out. We'll have our easy peasies for you as well on Saturday morning, or a Friday, as I should say, Friday evening, as we've been doing the past few weeks. Make sure you're following us on social media at Braggin' Pod on Twitter and Instagram. We'll post the fallout of that bet on there on Instagram, Braggin' Pod at Braggin' Pod on both those platforms. And until next time, I'm Madison.
I'm Hank.
And I'm Pierce. Stay blessed, y'all.